Hello, sunshine. It is Monday. Happy to start the week with you lovely people. I'm Coy Wyatt. This is CNN 10, where we tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. We're going to get right into it today. We start in the Middle East as U.S. and Iranian leadership are playing a delicate game of diplomacy and testing relationships in the region. Officials are reporting increasing concerns about proxy militias in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen who threaten to disrupt the global economy. In Jordan, a recent drone attack killed three American soldiers. And in Yemen, Houthi militant attacks have targeted commercial ships in the Red Sea. Here's our Oren Lieberman to explain why the U.S. is striking the region.
For the third time in recent weeks, the U.S. and the U.K. carried out joint strikes against Houthi targets in Yemen. This time, the coalition airstrikes targeted 36 targets across 13 different locations in Yemen as the U.S. and the U.K., backed by a coalition of Australia, Bahrain, Denmark, Canada, the Netherlands, and New Zealand, try to disrupt the ability of the Iran-backed rebel group to target international shipping lanes in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. The U.S. went after underground storage facilities, command and control, missile systems, drone storage and operation sites, radars, and helicopters of the Houthis. So in that target list, you see the effort of the U.S. to try to disrupt the abilities of the Houthis to continue to attack commercial vessels as well as U.S. warships. It's also worth noting this is the first time we have seen the U.S. strike Iraq and Syria simultaneously. The U.S. carrying out strikes at seven locations across Iraq and Syria, more precisely four in Syria, three in Iraq, targeting 85 different targets and using more than 125 precision-guided weapons. That is an order of magnitude more powerful than the strikes we've seen the U.S. carry out in Iraq and Syria over the course of the past several months. The U.S. had made it clear it wasn't trying to start a war with Iran here and very much trying to avoid that possibility, so no strikes in Iran directly, but very much going after Iran's proxies in the region, and the ability of the proxies to carry out these ongoing attacks on U.S. forces. Worth noting that these strikes, of course, come 5 days after a drone attack in the region killed three U.S. service members in Jordan and wounded scores more. But it's not just that. There have been more than 160 attacks on U.S. forces in the region, and this was effectively a more powerful response to all of that. And yet there is no expectation that this is the end of it, because President Joe Biden saying there could very well be more to come, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin being even more blunt about this in a statement afterwards saying this is the start of our response. The key question here, of course, what does the rest of that response look like and where does it play out?
Pop quiz, hot shot. Which of these animals is the largest rodent in North America? Squirrel, muskrat, marmot, or beaver? If you said beaver, put your tails up. North America's largest rodent typically weighs between 35 and 65 pounds and comes in at 3 to 4 feet long. The capybaras in South America are the largest rodents in the whole world. Let's hop on across the pond to the wetlands of England, where the Eurasian beaver, a species hunted to extinction, are returning to London for the first time in 400 years. CNN's Anna Stewart introduces us to the family of five that was relocated from Scotland to West London in hopes of rebuilding the country's lost beaver population.
This is the moment that a family of five Eurasian beavers happily settled in to their new home.
Oh, it's been a massive day. I am so excited. It's a bit of a weird, surreal moment to know there's beavers now living in urban Greenford in Ealing behind me. I have to admit, my heart was going like the clappers when I opened that first box and Big Mama Beaver came out. She's a whopper.
They did fantastically. I was absolutely thrilled. They came out, they showboated in front of the world's media. It's only, you know, a few generations ago that they were exterminated. And it was a real proud moment to see them swimming around here in this main pond of Paradise Fields again, like they had never been absent.
Hunted to extinction over 400 years ago, Britain's largest rodent was welcomed back to a wetland haven on the outskirts of the capital, adjacent to a retail park and a busy highway. The project has been done with the support of Mayor Sadiq Khan's Rewild London Fund.
One of the reasons why we in City Hall have invested millions of pounds in this project is it's good for humans, it's good for nature, it's good for our city. It's really important to create environments like this where we as Londoners can appreciate nature.
84% of people now in the UK live in towns or cities. So we can't think of nature and thriving ecosystems as being a countryside issue. Actually, we need to embrace nature and nature-based solutions on our doorstep in cities as well.
1 month on, and the beaver family is already having a positive impact on the local habitat.
So we're in almost a low-lying basin surrounded by urban landscape and hard standing and roads and things like that. In high rainfall events, we're getting flooding of this area, and the water is basically gushing through, and it's going into the storm drain systems and into the sewers, and it's gushing out in urban Greenford downstream.
Sean McCormack from Ealing Wildlife Group believes that nature has the answer.
So here is their magnificent creation, their first dam. So absolutely incredible. This started as just a couple of twigs across the stream bed. And as you can see now, you know, we've got almost a meter difference in height between the water upstream and the water downstream.
Beavers create dams under the cover of darkness. Not because they care about urban flooding, they have an instinct to create pools of deep water to hide in. The happy consequence for us is that their refuge systems actually slow down the flow of water.
The land will actually, over time, act as a giant sponge, and it will absorb those high rainfall events, and it will release it slowly. Even if you're not interested in wildlife or nature, it's a win for the urban community in Greenford to not have so much flooding. So they build resilience in the landscape, especially in times of climate change. I've been in a very privileged position to be coming in here every day on my own or with a pair of volunteers at a time and seeing it for myself. But I think the real proud moment will come when we're showing the urban community here in Ealing just what beavers can do.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a trailblazer. Starting each week this Black History Month, we're going to be highlighting seminal Black figures who transformed America in profound ways. First up, civil rights activist Sadie Tanner Mosell Alexander. In 1921, Alexander became the first Black person to earn a PhD in economics in the country. Then she later became the first Black woman to graduate from the University of Pennsylvania's law school and to practice law in the state. She shattered so many glass ceilings, all while facing racial prejudice. During her first year in college, she was told she couldn't check books out of the school library, but she persisted and remained a champion of equal rights throughout her life. Here she is in 1947, right next to President Harry Truman, who appointed Alexander to his Committee on Civil Rights, which became the backbone for the movement over the next decade. And another American difference maker getting today's 10 out of 10, inventor Garrett Morgan. In 1916, he patented a precursor to the gas mask used by soldiers during the First World War. He hired a white actor to pretend to be the inventor so as to avoid any possible racism of potential buyers. But one invention that many of us see each and every day, Garrett was the person who came up with the idea of a three-signal traffic light. That's right, he thought, you know, there should probably be a yellow light in there so people know when to slow their roll. We are going to go full green light, though, on our shout-outs for today. Let me hear a roar for the talented Tigers at Plaza Middle School in Kansas City. Thank you for subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. Rise up. See you tomorrow, lovely people. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.